Perek Yud Aleph in the middle, still speaking about being totally noki from the Aveir of Gezel. Re'ena, that's what we're up to. Re'ena be'inyan ha'honah. Aside from outright stealing, there's another prohibition that is part of the parsha of stealing, which is called onah. Onah means cheating, and it basically has two kinds of onah. There's onas mamon, actually cheating a person of money, and there's onas devari, which is a different kind of cheating. Let's speak about that before we go into the Mesillas Yesharim. We speak about this idea of onah and what it's based on. From the Mesillas Yesharim, it seems like this is a kind of stealing, and the purpose of the onah, or the underlying prohibition here, is stealing, and that makes sense in many of the cases of onah, but it doesn't make sense in all of them. Give me an example where it's obvious that it's just like stealing. In the following case, I have something I want to sell you. Okay? And its true value is 10 shekel. That's how much it's really worth. But I make you believe that it's worth a lot more. Okay? So I overcharge you by fooling you into thinking that it's a really special thing that's worth more. That's called onah. Or you can cheat me by, I have a rare, you know, manuscript, and it's worth a lot of money, and you know that, but I don't know that. And you tell me, it's just a bunch of piece of paper, so you underpay me by cheating me, by fooling me into thinking that what I'm selling you is worth less than it really is. That's a regular case of onah, overcharging or underpaying, and because you cheat somebody, that's stealing, obviously. I'm stealing from you, or you had a commodity that you could have made more money on, and I'm paying you less, so I'm stealing from you. That's stealing. Similarly, onah is dressing up something to make it look worth more than it is, right? I have an old clunker car, and I make it look great on the outside, so it looks like a late model auto, but Lamaisa, it's just missing a motor or whatever, things that nobody can tell, right? So I have an old slave, right, who can barely get up in the morning, but I give him a tooth job and a face job, and make him look like he's 30 years old, even though he's still under that facade, still a 90-year-old guy. That's also called cheating, right? I can't take food and sell, you know, Rami Levy takes, the beans and sells them for a kilo for a certain price, and he takes the nice beans, put them on the top, and underneath that is all the rotten ones. So when you buy it, you think you're getting nice, healthy beans, and they're all rotten, right? That's also cheating. All those are cheating, and they make sense that they're stealing. Then there's anas dvarim, where I'm not cheating you with things, but with things that are not They're not mamoshistic. They're not intangible things. Thank you. Intangible things, for instance. And here also makes sense of stealing. I walk into a store, okay? I bought a dress yesterday at a different store for a certain price. Walking by this store and I see the same dress, right? And I want to know if I got a good deal yesterday. I surely don't want to buy the same dress twice, right? No shy, okay?
What were you doing buying the dress the first time?
I'm saying this for the sake of the... A marshal for the sake of the women. The, right? Not me, it's you. And so I want to, I want to know what the price is. Because mostly men don't do this, women do it. I would never think of buying the dress. No shyle in the world, I don't want to buy the dress. But I want to know if I got a good deal yesterday. So I asked them, how much does this dress cost? Because if I tell them, I bought the same dress somewhere else yesterday, I just want to know how much you charge, inevitably they're probably going to tell me a much lower price, so I'll feel terrible, and next time I buy a dress, I'll buy it by them. Okay? So I don't want that to happen. I want them to tell me honestly how much it costs, because they think I'm a customer. So I just pretend I'm looking at the dress and I'm interested in buying it, right? And I have no interest in buying it. If I would possibly, if they give me a good price, I would buy it. This doesn't apply. But there's no way in the world I'm going to buy this dress. I just want to know the price. And I make it as if I'm a customer. That's called onas devarim. I can understand. That's also cheating and stealing. Because I'm basically stealing their time. They think they're involved with a customer. They wouldn't invest the time in me if they knew I wasn't a customer. So I'm stealing their time and their interest.
What would be if I knew that I can give the dress back?
What?
If I can give the first dress back.
You know, if I have any havamina of buying the dress there, it's okay. We're talking over here where you surely are not going to buy the dress. You don't have any money. Right? You're just window shopping. So you have to tell them that I really don't plan to buy this dress now, but I'd still like to know how much it costs. And if you tell them that, it's fine. But if you make it look as if you're a customer, that's awesome. Those all make sense that there's a certain amount of stealing involved. But first of all, it can't be like that. Because the halacha is that it's usher to do this even to a goy. You can't walk into a goyish dress shop and do that. No Jews are around. But there's an opinion that says you're allowed to steal from a goy. We don't pass them like that. But even according to the opinion that says that gezel akum is mutter, you're not allowed to cheat a goy like this. So the horror, it can't be because of stealing then. Because if it would be out and out stealing, it would be okay. So there must be something more to it. And also, it applies to situations where the concept of stealing doesn't apply at all. For instance, part of onas devarim is making your wife, specifically, a husband, making his wife cry. Hurting her feelings is called onah. Okay? And it's a very, very dangerous thing for a husband to do. Okay, there the consequences are very great. Onas devarim. Another kind of onas devarim is hurting somebody else's feelings. For instance, in the following way, the Gemara says, telling a ger, remember when you used to eat pig, you know, what's it called, chitlings or whatever? Only Cheryl will know what I'm talking about.
Excuse me.
not because she ate nobody kind of that. That's a southern thing. Right. Right, that's a southern thing. Or you know, what's pork chops or whatever. Don't you remember you used to eat pork chops and you make the guy feel like 2 cents? Or you go to a Baal Tshuva and tell him, hey, remember you used to eat in Royal Castle or whatever? So make him feel like 2 cents. That's awesome, right? Or you go to somebody in the hospital and the guy's sick. And you say, oh, you must have done some really terrible averas, otherwise you wouldn't be sick. Right? They make the guy feel like 2 cents, right? All of that is included in onas devarim. Now, none of that is stealing. What are you stealing from the person? There's no stealing at all. It's just you're hurting them through... So where is that called cheating? Therefore, I think the prohibition here is not so much the stealing. That's a side thing. The idea is that I'm creating a false impression. And that's what's awesome. It doesn't make a difference, therefore, who I do it to. Goy, Jew. I create a lie. I create a false impression that I'm a customer. I'm not a customer. That's a lie. I create a false impression that this book is worth a lot of money when it's not. Or it's worth a little bit amount of money when it's not. I've created a false impression of something. Same thing. A ger, as soon as he converts, he's a new person. If I make it appear like his past is still connected to him, remember when you used to do this? He's not him anymore. That was somebody else. Right? So I'm giving a false impression. I tell about tshuva. A person does tshuva, he's like a newborn person. His averas are forgotten. I tell him, remember you used to do this? I'm creating a false impression. That's him. It's not him. Different person. A person who hurts his wife's feelings gives the impression that a husband and wife are not the same person. Because the halacha is that ish v'isha is ishto kigufo and baal k'ishto. Husband and wife are mamish like one person. So if I wouldn't hurt myself, right? I wouldn't hurt my feelings. So by hurting my wife's feelings, I'm giving the impression that she's not part of me. Because if she would be, why in the world would I hurt myself? And therefore, giving a false impression. All of the... I go to a person in the hospital, it's possible that a person gets sick for other reasons than he had aveiros. So I'm giving a false impression that the person must be a rasha, otherwise people who are not rishayim don't get sick. That's absurd. I'm giving a false impression. All these things are creating a false impression. That's the prohibition. And because of that false impression, somebody gets hurt, either monetarily or not monetarily. It seems like, aside from all of that, there's still an aspect over here of, in certain cases, where you're taking something from somebody, and that part of it is stealing, at least. So, therefore, he says like this: Re'eino b'inyan ho'no, kamenekel hu la'odam, lehispatos v'likoshel, kashir l'chori yirelo sheroi hu lishtadul yapos choroso b'enei ha'anoshim, ulehistakir b'yegir kapo, v'daver alev ha'kone, l'man yisratzelo, v'yomru ha'kozeh, yezoriz v'nisker, v'yad harutzim ta'ashir. Person can fool himself and be over the iser of ono, the simple iser of ono, of cheating somebody, and feel that he's just a good businessman. What am I doing? I'm just a good salesman. I'm selling my product, right, in a way that I can make the most profit. I'm making it look good to the guy. So what am I doing wrong? Am I taking anything from him? He's giving it to me willingly. It's just that I am a good salesman, right? So people will pride themselves at their ability to have good salesmanship, when in fact what they're doing is cheating somebody, right? For instance, on them, and there is idea to be a good salesman. You're allowed to try to get somebody to buy something, but you can't lie because of it. You can't give a false impression because of it. You can give the right impression. Okay? And therefore, you think that you're doing something positive. You think that you're a good businessman, and therefore you're supporting your family or whatever. And you think that you're, you know, sowing grain when you're really sowing thorns. Even to do this to a guy is osir. So what aren't you allowed to do? I can't take old utensils and make them look new. I can renew them, and now they're but I can't sell them as new. I have to say the yad sheni that have been refurbished. But if I sell something used and I make believe it's new, I'm fooling the person. Or if I take something that's old, and because it's old, it doesn't work that well, but I just paint it and make it look new, but it really doesn't function as something new. So I'm just putting on a facade to make people think that that's what's called a new thing. And I don't tell them that it just has a nice paint job, but really it's the same old decrepit thing underneath. Right? That's all not. Ein ma'arvin peros v'peros, afilu chadoshim v'chadoshim, afilu so b'dinner, afilu yofa dinner utrisis, lo yare v'yim krem so b'dinner. I can take fruit, and where the majority of it is inferior, mix it with some good stuff and charge the higher price because people think they're buying the choicer fruit when in fact they're getting the majority of inferior fruit. The Omer Toavas Hashem Kol Oisei, of course, and it says on this, this is an abomination of the Rabban Shem to do this. It's a pretty serious thing. The Kori Heishemos, Ovil, Sonli, Meshukas, Cherim, Toeva, five different the expressions of how disgusting doing this is. Old Amru Chazal, Kol Agozel Shaveru Afilu Shove Pruta Kilu Notol Nafsho Mimenu. Somebody who steals from somebody, even one pruta, it's like he's stealing his nefesh, he's stealing his life. Now we've explained in the past why is that, why is stealing, right, stealing your life. Because it says that tzaddikim chavivim aleim amonam yosar migufan. A tzaddik values his money more than his body. And we explain, and we learn it from Yaakov Avinu, that he basically put himself in somewhat of a danger in order to get some very cheap things that he forgot, right? And therefore he was more concerned about his money than he was about his body. So we explain, it doesn't mean that a person values his money more than his body. That's absurd. Because if you don't have your body, you can't have any money either. So obviously your body is more important than your money. But what it says is, chavivim mamonim. Their money is more precious to them. Right? It's more chaviv. And we explained that a tzaddik looks at his body as something given to him with which to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why he has a body. Right? It's like a person has a part in a play. He's given a costume. And with his costume, he's able to fulfill his part. If he doesn't have his costume, he can't do his part. He's also given props. If he doesn't have his props, he can't do his part. He has his props, he can do his part. You come into this world, you're given a costume called your body, you're given a part, and you're given props, which is your material possessions, your money. So, a tzaddik views his body and his money as tools to serve Hashem. That's what they were given for. That's what they're there for. He could use them to serve Hashem. What is more precious to a person? What he has to put more effort into. The more effort you put into something, the more precious it is to you. That's why we have to earn our Olam Haba, that it should be precious, because we earned it. But if you get it easily, it's not as precious. So what you put more effort, that's Kivan, the Gemara says, Adi de Boile, what's it called, the Drosha, Chavivale, but you have to put more effort into, even in learning, is more precious than something you got easily. So therefore, both of these things are tools to serve Hashem, your body and your money. Which do you have to put more effort into? So your body, you didn't have to put any effort into acquiring it. It's a birthday present. Your first birthday, you're given a body, and it grows with you, and you don't have to put too much effort in getting it. You do have to put effort in maintaining it and using it. So out of three kinds of effort, two of them apply to the body and one doesn't. You don't put any effort into acquiring your body, but you do have to put effort into maintaining it and using it. Money, on the other hand, so if you steal, maybe you don't have to put too much effort into gaining and acquiring your money either. But tzaddikim don't steal, and therefore they earn every penny honestly, so you have to put a lot of effort into acquiring your money. And additionally, you have to put effort into maintaining your money. And you have to put effort into using it. Three out of the three. So since both of them are tools for service of Hashem, one of them entails three kinds of effort, and one only two, the one that has the more effort is the more precious. So to a tzaddik, his money is more precious than his body. It's not more important, but more precious. That's the idea. Therefore, if I steal somebody's money, I'm basically stealing a tool that they have that they could use for Avodas Hashem, even a penny. You could use it for tzedakah, you could use it to save, to do something, hachnosis orchim, to buy yourself an ice cream cone so you'll feel better about yourself, and you can then serve the Rabban Shalom better. If you look at what you buy and what you do as a means to serve Hashem better, then there's an infinite ways that you could use your money and have in mind that you're using it somehow, directly or indirectly, for Avodas Hashem. And Avodas Hashem is what a person's lifeblood is, because that's what gives you Olam Haba. So if I take away a penny from you, I'm taking away your nefesh, taking away your life force, because you could have used that penny in some way that would give you eternal life. And I'm taking that opportunity away from you. So that's the idea, why it's as if you're taking away the person's life. The sin of, therefore, of stealing and depriving somebody of what's rightfully theirs is a very serious thing, and it doesn't depend how much you take. Even one penny is still significant. The Amru Od, Ein Hagshomim Netzorim Ela Ba'Oven Gezel. There's droughts. Rain doesn't come because of the sin of Gezel. It's one of the reasons that there's droughts. The Od Amru, Kupa Malea Volnos Mimikatrik Berlosh Kulam Gezel. If a person has a lot of Averis that he did, but which one is the one that jumps out as Mekatrig Barosh, that is what's it called, Gezel. The Dor HaMabul Onechtam Gzardinam Ela Gezel. The whole Dor HaMabul, even though they did terrible things, they were perverted. But the Iker Gzardin, their judgment was sealed because they stole. So stealing is a very serious thing, and it doesn't depend on how much you steal or how you steal. Right? It's serious in its most subtle ways also. Tomer Bilvavcha, the Eich Efshar, Lanu, Shalom Yishtadl B'masayin Mataneinu, L'ratzos Yish Chavarinu, Al Mecha V'al Shiva. So then, how can you ever do business? How can we, if you have to always worry that you're fooling somebody or whatever, how can you taka, be a good businessman and try to sell something and sell something to somebody and try to get them to buy it? Right? There's a story, and I think next week, we'll first finish this thing with Gesell, because the next thing goes in then to immorality and discusses it in detail. But I found a lot of interesting stories here about Gesell that are kedai to mention. So I think we'll do that next time. But in any case, so how are you allowed to be in business? How are you allowed to try to convince somebody to buy something? That's what business is all about. Chilek gadol, he says, a very big difference between cheating somebody and being a good businessman. If you want to point out the strengths of what you want to sell, you want to point out its positive points. There's nothing wrong with that, as long as they're really there. So you can point out the positive points, right? It says that the mocher always says, this thing is really, what's it called, really good, and the kohen always says, this thing is bad. Meaning, the kohen sees the negative side, so he offers less money, and the mocher sees the positive side of what he's selling, and he wants more money, for he wants a bigger, better price, and somehow they come to terms between them. Because there are positive things, there are negative things. I'm not saying there aren't any negative things, I'm not trying to hide them. I'm just accenting and that's the word I'm looking for?
Emphasizing
the positive things. And the other guy's emphasizing the negative things. He's not covering up the positive things. So we're both not cheating each other. We're just trying to sell each other on how we see it. That's perfectly okay. That's how you do business. So if somebody covers mumin, right? He pretends they're not there. The same thing goes with shiduchin. You could do with selling a car, or you're making a shidduch, right? Somebody is interested in knowing, right, the age of the person. So if you say the person's 50 and you say they're 30, then you're lying, you're cheating, right? Maybe the person doesn't want to buy somebody who's 50, only somebody who's 30. But if the person, what's it called, doesn't ask, you don't have to mention the age of the person unless they ask. If they're interested, they'll ask. And if they'll ask, you'll say the truth. But you're not trying to cover up and cheat somebody, you're just not mentioning what may not be relevant to this person, right? Same thing goes with where they're selling a car, right? If you know that this car always overheats, right, or this car has a problem with the motor that it needs a head. I once bought a car like that. It was a real great deal in Miami, and I drove it home, and by the time I got home, it overheated or whatever, because they told me that the whole motor wasn't good. I know, but I couldn't return it or whatever, and that was the end of that. So that's cheating, right? You didn't tell the person that there's a moon that you know about. The person couldn't have seen on his own, right? It looked to me like the motor was there. It looked okay. That's cheating.
It's commonly known that Rabbi Levi, or in any other places in Israel, they put all the close to expire that in the front in dairy stuff or in fruit and vegetables. It's come on, everybody knows that you have to take from the bottom or from the back. And also with cars, there's those machonim to test cars. You can take the car for a test. I don't need to tell you anything. It's a common thing to take a car to be examined in Israel. If it's a common thing in the Hebrew.
Yeah, then Lechora, since I can look into it, right? You're not telling me that it's not like that. Right? If you tell me this car is 100% okay, you don't tell me this problem, or you tell me, look, you can take it and test it and see for yourself, right? But if I tell you there's no need for a test because it's 100% okay, that's cheating. If I tell you take it for a test, then you can take it for a test. You don't, then I'm not telling you that there's no chesronus. But if I tell you, look, you don't have to take it for a test. You can take it if you want, but I'm telling you that it's 100% okay. That's also cheating. What's it called? You know that you should check the thing. There's a thing. You could read it. There's not somebody. My daughter-in-law has a store. It sells dresses. So somebody bought a dress, and it says a label there that machine. What's it called? Only dry clean, right? So she put it in the washing machine. So she wanted her money back because they didn't tell her that it was only dry cleaning. There's a label on there, right? I have to tell you when you bought it. I'm not trying to hide anything from you. A person knows that before they clean the thing, they should check the label to see. So she tied it that my daughter-in-law cheated her because she didn't tell her when she bought it that it's only dry cleaning. First of all, most things are only dry cleaning. Secondly, there's a label that says Betheira. She didn't take the label out. So if it's something that it's clear, it says, you can check it, and it doesn't make a difference to you, then it didn't make a difference to you. If it does make a difference, check. Before you do something, that's not called cheating. You know, you walk into a store, there's some things that are going to be right before they expire, right? Or maybe over expire. And you can check and read it. So you can't assume that if it's on the thing, it's fresh. Maybe it's not fresh. You know that people they don't take the thing off until it's expired completely, so maybe it only has one day to go. So check and see. If you didn't check, it's your fault. It's not that they're, if they would put a different date on it, or they'd erase the date, right? Then they're cheating you. But the date's on there. If it matters to you, read it. You didn't read it, it's your fault. Yeah. Ach mashehu lechasos mumei chefzo einu el anoa v'osir. The zeh klal gadol be'emunas hamasa v'amotna. Right? And that is a rule when it comes to business. If you are making a false impression, if you're hiding the negative or the positive, right, that's cheating. If you're emphasizing the positive or the negative, but you're not cheating anybody, they can easily check themselves to see the other way, then that's just being a businessman. That's okay. Okay, continue next week.